Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is evangelist Kevin Brownfield and minister of the gospel, youth pastor, camp speaker, Christian at large, Brother Sammy Fry. Sammy, it's good to have you here, brother.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Doc.
It has been a fascinating discussion that you have kind of led us on here for the number of broadcasts. I need to let our listeners know that Dr. Olala is still away in the Philippines, and we'll be coming back, and we look really forward to the time he can be with us again. He's always a delight to have on the program. But you men are doing a great job standing in for him.
I'm glad to be here, brother. Amen. Thank you for having me.
Sammy, the last time we were together, we were talking about a dilemma that faces the average believer, and many of our listeners are in this dilemma. One, they are in churches with very good motives that are desiring to reach lost people, but they have made some changes that have affected what comes out at the other end. And what comes out at the other end is a weakened product. And I say product in the sense of disciple. A disciple that really doesn't look very much like what the disciple Jesus talked about in the New Testament should look like. So we certainly want to caution our listeners that that's really not the right approach. We talked about some marks of churches that were like that. And then, on the other hand, there's the dilemma of where do we go? So we have some churches on the other side who basically are trying to form righteousness from the outside. Mm-hmm. They're trying to impose, okay, here's what it should look like in terms of a believer, in terms of their dress, their hair, their music. I mean, all areas of life are prescribed. And again, very good motives oftentimes drive this. And those motives are, you know what, a believer should look holy. A believer should be holy. And those are wonderfully true statements.
Right.
And you really gave us a fascinating help, and certainly not a new help, but one I think that the Lord has certainly laid on your heart. And it comes back down to the issue of somehow striking a balance between truth and mercy. We don't want to leave believers where they are.
Right.
We need to bring them into conformity to the image of Christ. But what is going to do that is not our rules and regulations and our externally imposed righteousness. What is going to do that is the Word of God implanted in their souls. In fact, the New Testament says that we are to desire the sincere milk, the unmixed milk. The word sincere means not to mix. The unmixed, pure milk of the Word, which is what God will use to grow us. And so the answer comes then in the sound, exegetical, expository preaching of the Word of God that is committed to applying the truth to life.
Right.
And one of the ways we could say this is that preachers need to be willing to get up and say the hard things.
Yes.
True.
You know, they need to be able to get up and say accurately, you should not do certain things based on what the implications of this text. And we use the illustration of drinking. And while it may be true that you can't really make the case that Jesus didn't turn the water into wine, a lot of people say it was just grape juice. That's very hard to determine from the text. I mean, my personal opinion is that it was real wine.
Mm-hmm.
And the scripture prohibits drinking strong drink. There are specific statements that talk about drunkenness, but it's going to be very, very hard to make the case for complete, total abstinence just from passages that talk about water and wine in the New Testament. And so a lot of times people say, well, then we really can't say that you shouldn't drink. And the answer to that is no.
No.
You can go to the texts and you can make the case from the texts and from the culture that you're in that a believer living in the culture that we're in, with all of the choices that he has, needs to be a biblically wise Christian and stay away from things that are giving a great deal of damage to the cause of Christ.
Yes.
And that's
Amen.
Not legalism. That's balance.
Right.
And it takes grace to live that way. Now, I want to come back to that issue, though, because you have a brother. And you kind of introduced us to Bruce here at the end of your last program. And as we were kind of closing our discussion, we came back to the topic that we started with at the very beginning of our broadcasts. The way that we do this is by having a strong commitment to discipleship.
Right.
And I know that that was on your heart, so I wonder if you could share that with us.
Well, it was on my heart because, as I said, and I have not certainly traveled to the degree and extent that you two have, but I have been to a lot of different places, and I don't think I've ever been to a church. I have been in meetings and places where people talk about how many people were saved, and I think that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely wonderful, a new babe in Christ. I've never been to a church or a ministry where they were excited and were talking. I'll say that there is one, a new church ministry in Brantford, Connecticut, that I am familiar with, but where they were excited about the number of people that were being discipled.
Mm-hmm.
That's a burden for me because my brother, when he was saved, he was discipled like for 16 weeks and regular teaching, regular scripture memory, regular meals, regular input of time and influence and energy. And it really gave him a foundation to grow from. And the relationships in there are so important. On the other hand, my life, when I came back from Texas after being saved, I was not discipled. Now, I will say this. I was also not surrendered and probably ready for discipleship. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to point fingers.
Yeah.
I think I have a great responsibility in that. I wasn't at a place spiritually where I would have accepted that. I'm not sure, but I didn't have that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But I do know this. I really struggled and stumbled around until I came to a point. I wasn't in church. I prayed to the Lord, "Lord, I want to understand your word." And the Lord led me to a man called Dr. Ralph Richardson. And he was doing a regular Bible study twice a month in the town in which I lived. We had gone to the coast for a vacation, gone to a chapel by the sea for a church service, and he was preaching. They had a different preacher each week. He was the guy. When he started talking, my heart just began to leap inside. I didn't understand. But then he announced at the end of the service, "I'm doing a Bible study twice a month in Southern Pines." He then became a dear friend of mine. I started going to that. I would call him with the questions. As I grew, then the Lord later led us to a good Bible-believing church. So he was the man that God used to really help me to really begin to grow and understand the Scriptures. I'm so burdened because even in my ministry as a youth pastor, I believe that I have, for a number of years, missed that. Very evangelistic, but wasn't pouring my life into individuals. And we're talking things that nobody's going to put your name in the bulletin for necessarily.
Yeah,
nobody's
right.
going to know it. You know, every Friday night or every Thursday night with a family I'm ministering to now, I'm in their home and spending time with the three children and mom and dad. I had the privilege to lead them both to Christ, but every week and dealing with life issues. And it's just been wonderful. It's like you were talking, we went down to get some coffee, about what it's like when somebody says, "Where is that? What is that?" Or a new truth. And I had the lady the other week said, "I never knew that." And it's just thrilling. It's like kids in a candy store.
It's brand new, isn't it?
Oh, it's just refreshing.
Brand.
It's so
it's
refreshing. And see the children and the growth. And
Yeah, let me interrupt there, Sammy.
Yeah.
Because when you meet somebody like that, I really do think you're onto something with the mercy and truth balance that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you meet a brand new believer who everything's new to, what happens in your own heart is you get convicted because you're not as excited about it as they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what happened to me?
Right.
Where did I get off track? And then you start looking at your life, and it's like, man, what I've been watching on TV, what I've been listening to, you know.
Yeah. Where have I been using my time?
You know,
investing my time.
Here's a case. You know, here you got a guy you're discipling, and you talked about your brother Bruce. He's got long hair, and he's got earrings all in his ears. And you're like, "Lord, he can't stay like that. I got to find a way to pray for him and to help that change come internally so that it's not external." Right?
Right.
And what happens is you start looking in your life to say, "Lord, is there something in my life that's keeping him from seeing that?"
Yes.
Right. You know, when you're discipling somebody, the pressure's on.
Exactly.
Not only to teach the truth, but to live the truth. Plus, I told the church, I spoke on this the other Sunday night in church. I said, "Folks, when you're discipling somebody and they come to church, nobody has to tell you to go say hello to them. You're looking for them. And guess
mm-hmm.
what? They're looking for you."
Yeah.
Because it's a relationship. And it's not just about truth. You know, the other night I went and picked up the man in this family and his three boys, and we went to a soccer game at the local Christian school and spent 2 hours together having popcorn and Coke, laughing, meeting other people. Two other people from our church were there, and they got a chance to talk to him. So it's about going to a ball game together.
Mm-hmm.
It's about going fishing together. I was there. I've taken one of the sons. I took him out, and we went to a place and did some putting on a putting green. I took him home and let him gather the egg from my chicken. I only have one. Used to have more, but the dog killed him. But anyway,
oh, no.
I'm from North Carolina, remember, folks. And then I was sitting at the table. I was telling this kid's brother, I said, "Okay, next time I'll pick you up, then I'm going to pick you up." And all of a sudden I heard a voice saying, "When's my turn?" And it was Daddy.
Hmm.
He said, "I want us to go fishing together, him and
wow.
me." And that's when I realized again, hey, that's important.
Yeah. You know, Sammy, as you were talking there, you mentioned being in the country music world for many years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you clarified in one of our programs that you see that as something that's not to be a part of your life now and it's not wise.
Right.
And I could see that because, you know, there's a guy I'm discipling, and he told me this last time we were together, you know, the music I used to listen to, all that headbanging music, I don't listen to that anymore. I just had to get rid of that. But I'm thinking, you know, what if he were to get in the car of one of our long-term believers in our church,
mm-hmm.
and he were to be driving around with that believer, and there is country and western music playing, or there's rock music, soft rock music playing, he may not go back to his head-banging music, but he's going to end up in a trap. And as somebody that's burdened to disciple him, I don't want that to happen.
You don't want that to happen.
You know what? I don't want that stuff. I mean, it's not worth it. You know,
right.
I could argue that it's okay. I could, where's the verses and all that? I don't want it anywhere near my life because I want him to grow. I want him to be healthy.
Right. And that's about living a life for others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think Dr. Les, I've heard him say this, setting aside my liberty for the sake of another.
That's right.
I think Brother Sammy hit on what I consider, because I know that we often on this program are thinking we got people in real life and discipleship is imposing to them. How are we going to do this? I think he hit on discipleship happens in real life. It's just, it's one life touching another life. And for me, none of my discipleship seems to be scripted. It's not where, okay, we're going to meet together. Now, that does happen, and I do have those meetings, but like yesterday, a young man, and I just saw him in the hallway. I could tell something was on his heart, and we just started talking. And from that time together, from those 10 minutes, you know, he emailed me later and said, man, thanks for that passage. Mm-hmm. I looked at it, and God did this in my life. And to me, you know, he's just talking about going and spending time with somebody at a ball game, doing this or that. We really can touch people's lives all day long as we're going. It's constant.
Yeah.
Discipleship and ought to be a mindset.
And any one of our listeners can do this.
Everybody can.
And isn't that exactly what Jesus Christ did?
Yes.
He didn't confine his relationship with people to they ate together.
Yeah.
He taught them.
Yeah.
He sent them out. They ministered. They watched him. And in that culture, as I understand it, oftentimes the rabbis would bring people in. They would live with them. They would just live with them. And,
well, that's what he said. Come and see.
Yeah.
That's right.
Come and see.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Sammy, you have really challenged us on this whole area of discipleship.
Well, I have been challenged on this, brother. I wish I could say that I have really, in the years of my ministry, had the right balance, but I haven't. And the Lord has really challenged me.
You know, one of the greatest areas of discipleship that every one of us have as parents is our children. And I would challenge all of our listeners to start there. Even if you're not discipling anybody else, disciple your kids.
Yes.
Pray for them. Be with them. Mm-hmm. Live your life before them. And then expand out. God has somebody in your job. God has somebody around you who's watching. And who may, you may not know it for a while, but there's going to be a moment when your testimony may be the thing that God would use to prompt that person to ask a question.
That's right.
And we got to be ready to give an answer, a gentle answer that will lead them to Christ and not one that will drive them further away.
You know, it also changes your whole motive for going to church and your purpose.
Oh, man.
You're looking to serve, and who can my life touch today?
It's important that you're there.
They want to see you.
They want to. You're their connection.
Yeah.
Until they develop other relationships, and it's just so important.
For those of you listening, we appreciate you. We love you. We thank you so much for taking time to tune in. We do have Dr. Les Olala's discipleship journal, Manna, available for those of you that write in and support us for a gift of $10. We'd be glad to send you a copy of Manna. Let me encourage you to do that. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.